Let's stand and pick up our Bible. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, you ever get the feeling that sometimes, you know how sometimes you always want to do more for God? You know how you always want to do more? And when you really put in your mind to strive to put the time together to do more for God, and then all types of things happen to disturb and disrupt your plan or your itinerary, right? You ever been that way? I've been that way many times. And sometimes when I look at the church right now, I think, my goodness, you know, as much as I want to do for God, but yet there's so many things that pop up and come up. And you know what really disturbs me? And it really not disturbing me, but it amazes me. Is that it appears sometimes that it is, in some cases, the less we do, the more he does for us. The scriptures are true. He will never leave you or forsake you. Never. And so when I look at the congregation and I see all the blessings that God has given to us and blessing us and bringing us to an understanding of him and his knowledge, I realize how little part I have really in it. Really. I think me and Sister Camp was talking about our prayer life the other day and how we scuffle to maintain an hour a day. You know, it's a fight, man, to pray an hour a day, I'm telling you. Huh? It's a fight. It's a fight. And so when you somebody that prays 2 hours a day, you admire them. You know, or they just ain't got no time. Or they all they got is time. Well, it's a fight. And so as you scuffle through that day and you never stop having the Lord on your mind, no matter whether you're actually in prayer or not in prayer, the Lord never stops doing things for you. It's amazing. You know, he don't ever stop. So it shows us how great and how wonderful he is. He never stops. So all the things that we see will definitely be of him and not of us. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Amen. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Amen. "But we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ be in the image of God, and who is in the image of God should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be not of God, may be of God and not of us. By the grace of God today, I want to preach about the treasures of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for the power of your Spirit. We worship you. We acknowledge you. We give you glory. We honor your name. There's no other God beside you. We know no other God. And so we stand before the presence of an almighty God today, and we lift up our voices unto you in thanksgiving for the things that you've done. In Jesus' name, we pray. You may be seated. There's no word that's more powerful than the word of God. Hallelujah. And the more that we read the word of God, and the more we understand, and we see the ambition of Paul to further the gospel, and how Paul took the revelation that he received from God and used it effectively in the Corinthian church to bring the church of Corinth to a certain understanding about what they had received. Hallelujah. To bring the church to understanding. I believe that the modern day church today is very equal to the Corinthian church. The modern day church today, if you want to see the church of today in the Bible, just read the book of Corinthians. Everything that was in the church then is in the church now. Praise God. It's in the church now. Now, some assume that since this was the first century church, they were different than us, and they were better than us, and they had more situations, but they had problems. And the church today had problems. Amen. Because as long as you have a collective body of humanity, you're going to have problems. People bring their own situations, their own circumstances, their own ideas. They even bring spirits into the church. Spirits come. And of course, because we are in a spiritual realm and we're dealing with a spiritual battle, we have to have the power to deal with spirits. Amen. Now, if everybody don't think they listen, this, like I've told y'all 1,000 times, there's 3 spirits that we deal with: the spirit of God, the spirits of the underworld, and the human spirit. The human spirit can be just as devilish as any spirit of the underworld. That's right. And so, but the object is that here's what sometimes we don't understand. The power of the blood is there to overpower the spirits of the underworld and to regenerate the spirit of humanity. Hallelujah. That's what the power of the blood does. It overpowers the spirit of the underworld. In other words, All I have to do is mean it. Satan, get behind me. He can no longer go forward with that position of temptation, because I have power over him through the blood of Jesus Christ. He can no longer force his way in. He can no longer pursue his way against my will, because I put up the shield and say, by the power of the blood of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. And all of a sudden, that temptation or that wall or whatever it might be has to fall down. But the human spirit is the problem, because the human spirit is the spirit that needs regeneration. Human spirit needs to be regenerated, recharged. Amen. Recharged. In fact, it really needs to be charged initially. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're charged. And when you pray through again, you're recharged. Because it's in the spiritual realm, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're dead. You're dead. See, I don't care what people want to tell us, you're dead. You're just a dead individual in flesh. And that's why you can see people come into an apostolic, you can see a person come into an apostolic or Pentecostal church, try to go through all the preliminaries of worship, and be dead at 5 o'clock. Dead at 5 o'clock. You know, and the worst thing is for someone to have the Holy Ghost and be deader than 5 o'clock. Dead. Dead to the movement of the Spirit. Dead to it. Don't feel it. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. Have you ever been in a service where the Spirit of God is moving and you can't feel it? Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I've been there. I know how that feels. And everybody else, you look where everybody's getting blessed, and you're trying to find a glimpse of the blessing. Huh? And you're saying, and listen, you even go in places trying to get somebody to put their hands on you to touch you. Please pray for me. Am I right? Huh? You know, listen, I was in a situation one time, and I was going through a trial, and I needed to touch a God so bad I didn't know what to do. I went up to the altar and placed myself in front of all the preachers, and everybody scattered. You know? And I thought, God, I mean, my goodness, what a brother got to do? What a brother got to do? I placed myself at the altar. Huh? But I was in such a dry place. Maybe God was trying to bring a message to me or try to minister to me to let me know that it's not predicated on my feelings. But I needed to feel. I needed a touch. You ever been that way? Touch me, God. And then sometimes it's been sometimes that you get a touch from God, you feel a generation from God, and go out and blow it. Huh? They've been electrified. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know? Huh? Walk outside and get mad and say the wrong thing to somebody. Lost the victory. Sweat gone. Huh? Hallelujah. Huh? So many times we get caught in those type of positions because of the fact is we're human, and the human spirit needs to be regenerated. Amen. Needs to be regenerated. And when it comes to a place of being really regenerated, then Jesus becomes the same all the time. Am I right? You don't really need a feeling to know that it's there. But I tell you what, a feeling helps. I won't tell. Listen, I've been around for a while. Please touch me. Please don't pass by and don't touch me. Please touch me. Huh? Get in my spirit. Touch me. Reach down at me. Because I realize that the important thing is that I need the treasures of the Holy Ghost. You need those treasures. Those treasures are imperative. Those treasures are important. You know, in verse 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, discerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were all Gentiles and carried away unto these dumb idols, as even as ye were led. That comes up to what Sister Nemox was talking about, that guy who comes in. He's carried away by dumb idols. Many of us were carried away by dumb idols. We worship stupid things, believe dumb, crazy things, things that would make no sense to believe. Even in the flesh, we believed it. We followed behind it. We thought it was worth something. And so sometimes after we follow those positions, those dumb idols, and here we come in the presence of God and receive the Holy Ghost. He says, wherefore I give unto you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. Hallelujah. Any man that speaks by the Spirit of God doesn't have the ability to curse God. He can only bless him. He can only bless him. It doesn't matter what your situation is. You know, sometimes you get in those situations where you think, man, everything going wrong. Ain't nothing right. Huh? Everything going wrong. The devil tells you God's against you. You shouldn't have done that, Brother Camp. God's against you. Huh? They'll feed that to you. You shouldn't have done it. You made it. You dropped the ball. You ain't right with God. Ain't that what the devil tell you? Huh? Huh? You ain't right with God. And the worst thing you do is you stop believing it. And then all of a sudden, in spite of the whole situation, God takes your assumption and turns it around and blesses you. And he breaks you down. He breaks you down. He takes that situation, he turns it around, and in spite of your shortcoming, he gives you that plus tenfold. How you figure that out? How does that work in? Huh? Yeah, so apparently someone has been lying to you. Am I right? But it's hard for us to put that in our human makeup, because we believe that everything has been given to us according to merit. Right? But that happened when we worship dumb idols. Because dumb idols told us if we did certain things that they would bless us. Am I right? That's what happened when you worship dumb idols. But see, God is not a dumb idol. He is God. He's not a dumb idol. Dumb idols tell you merit. Because dumb idols have conditions. God has no condition. Don't get me wrong. Now, we're not going to make God unrighteous. No. God's not unrighteous. But God knows every heart that he deals with. And he knows the response of every heart that he deals with. See, you know the problem with humanity is we make God fickle. We assume that God is fickle. We do. We assume that God is not fickle. He knows every condition of your heart down to the very minute position. He is not fickle. That's why he produces the trials in your life that he brings. That's why he allows you to go through some of the mayhem that you go through. That's why he does it. Because he's not fickle. God's not fickle. And so we build ourselves up and we try to build ourselves to a condition where we got merits. Rookie point. Am I right? You know why we believe that? Because that's what we did when we did when we worshiped dumb idols. Dumb idols required merit points. But God doesn't. Because all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. And nothing that you can do can stop God from loving you. Nothing. There's nothing that you can do that can stop his love. This is something that we don't, sometimes we don't understand. You know, we probe each other and try to tell each other that we got to step up with the marriage. Don't get me wrong. We're all supposed to work towards being righteous. No doubt about that. If we're children of God, we should work towards righteousness. We're called to that. There's no doubt about that. But we have to have a better understanding of God, because we need to understand the treasures of the Holy Ghost. There are treasures in the Holy Ghost. There are things that are given to us that only the Holy Ghost can give us. Only the Holy Ghost can give us. That humanity can't give us. Only God can give us. Dumb idols can't give it to us. And so Paul, dealing with the Corinthian church, was very in depth. And so he says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, in the flesh, no man knows God. I didn't say it. The word of God said it. In the flesh, no man will know God. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28:11. Oh, I'm sorry, not 28:11. No, Matthew chapter 11. Jesus talks about taking up the yoke, right? He said, take up my yoke and learn of me. Right? You ever see a yoke of oxen before? You ever see a yoke of oxen? You have two. You have a full grown oxen, and you have a small oxen, right? And they take those. They take the yoke and they put the yoke around both of the oxen's neck. They put the yoke around the big oxen's neck, and they put the yoke around the little oxen's neck. And the object is that the big oxen will teach the small oxen what he needs to do. And so as the big oxen walks around with his yoke, the small oxen also has to walk around with his yoke. But you know how small oxen are. They're just like children. They have a tendency to drift. But the only thing about it is that small oxen better watch how he drifts, because as that big oxen pulls him on, he'll break his neck. He'll break his neck because he's plowing and he's moving in a certain motion. And so it gets that, and that's why they have to put the yoke around a small oxen, that he'll learn that direction, just like the older oxen. So as he becomes bigger and stronger, he'll do the same thing. And so that's why the Lord says, take the yoke of the world off and put on my yoke and learn of me. In other words, learn my ways. There's treasures in what I'm doing. And so as I yoke up with the Lord, there's times that we have a tendency to drift off. You know how we drift off sometimes, but the Lord is still going. And all of a sudden that yoke catches you by the neck. Hallelujah. You know what that yoke is? That yoke is that trial, that problem that God has put in your life to get your attention, to keep you going in the right direction. Amen? Hallelujah. You wonder why God don't bless you when you want to be blessed? That's that yoke around your neck. It's a yoke around your neck to keep you, that you might learn of him, that you might take the same position that he's taken and continue to walk just like he's walked. The only thing is, he says that my yoke is easier than the yoke of the world, because the yoke of God will not destroy you, but the yoke of the world will. It'll destroy you. He said, learn of me. Learn of me. And this is the problem with the modern day church today. We learn about everybody else, but we're not learning about Jesus. Hallelujah. We follow more men than we follow God. I'm a preacher now. Is that all right? We follow more men than we follow God. I hear more bishops' names and more individuals' names than I hear the name of Jesus. I'm going to hit it. I'm going to knock the sock off of it. Praise God. You know why? Because people need to understand that the hero Israel, the Lord our God, is one Lord. And I don't serve no dumb idol. I don't have no idols in my closet. You know what? When I was in the hospital, when I was sick, it wasn't a bishop that raised me up. It was Jesus that raised me up. It was Jesus that walked into a hospital one day and reached down and told me that I would never have a heart attack or a stroke. You know why a man couldn't tell me that? Because he couldn't guarantee me that. But God can. You know? Oh yeah, the doctor told me, this was 20 years ago, you got a bad heart. You got a bad heart, blood pressure to mess up your heart, you know? The Lord walks in, 5 minutes later, and say, you never have a heart attack or stroke. Man, I play racquetball 3 or 4 days a week. Huh? The man tell me now, your heart's in excellent condition. Who did that? I didn't do it. Did I do it? I didn't do it. I cannot do it. I did not do it. But you know what I could hold on to? His promises. Because there were treasures there. There was treasures. I could not do that myself. But I could make a claim. On whose name? Jesus' name. Because there's treasures in the Holy Ghost. There's things that God wants us to have and he wants us to relate to. That's right. I couldn't have done that. I had submitted my will to God. And the Lord did it. Now what do you say? Well, you know, I don't care. Everybody needs that. The problem with the church today is that the church all needs to have a testimony. Greater than this, you didn't baptize in Jesus' name and just filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Greater than. You know why? Because he's given treasures. Treasures. Let me show you something. Let me get a little deeper here. Let me pull down some snorkels real quick before I close this thing up. Okay? Huh? When you go deep, you gotta put on the right equipment. It tells us, there we go. Hallelujah. I'm so wound up. For seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy and we faint not. But we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty and not walked in craftiness. Openness, right? Now, I'm not perfect. So I'm not out to deceive anybody. My wife will tell you how imperfect I am. She could write a book on my imperfectness. Amen. If she hadn't already written it. Right? Because she keeps a daily journal. My wife keeps a daily journal. I have never read in it. But I would like to read some of the things that she wrote. Huh? And some of those things are my imperfection. Amen. We are not perfect. We're not perfect. And thank God that we're not. Because if we were perfect, we would have more problems. We would have more problems. I'm telling you. Because if we were perfect, we would walk in craftiness and we would deceive people. But it says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Deceitfully. I'm not handling the word of God to persuade you. Don't get me wrong, I want to persuade you the truth. But I'm not trying to persuade you to me. Because the gospel is built on whosoever will. Amen. Either you desire to do it or you don't. Whosoever will. So we don't want to handle the word of God deceitfully. We want to handle the word of God properly. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, you can be, let me tell you something, y'all. You don't realize this, but you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and be lost. And you know why you're lost? People with the Holy Ghost are lost because they're unwilling to submit themselves to the fullness of God's presence and spirit. The Bible tells us that the man of God has to rule over us. Am I right? So we all are under, listen, all, even me, are under some form of human submission. Praise God. Because that's the will of God. Amen. That's the will of God. That's all part of the will of God. Submission. Submission. And so, and we also are in the position of submission under the word of God and the things of God. Now, it takes a willingness to do that. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you know something. This is about the treasures of the Holy Ghost. As you will yourself to do God's will through submission, God in return opens you up to the treasures. That's right. In return, he opens you up to the treasures. He'll share the treasures of his spirit with those who are willing. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Am I right? Now, of course, we only think about the traditional commandments. Am I right? That's what we think about. That's all we think about, traditional commandments. And we lift up or we destroy according to those commandments. But if we love him, we keep his, and really, his whole word is a commandment to those of us that have the Spirit of God. His whole entire word is a commandment. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in where? Earthen vessels. We have the treasure. You know, I guess it's a constant fight to try to get people on a daily basis to use the Spirit of God. What's hard about it? What's hard about it doing it God's way in versus doing it my way? If we got the Holy Ghost. What's hard about it? That flesh makes it hard. That flesh makes it hard. That flesh makes it. Sometimes, listen, to be honest with you, and if you be honest with yourself, sometimes you really don't want to admit that you're the problem. Am I right? You really don't want to admit that you're the problem. Huh? We got a hard problem. We got a problem with that. We don't want to admit that we are the problem. So it makes it hard in the flesh. It makes it difficult. It makes it hard to receive and to maneuver in the treasures of God. Because we can't be the problem. You know, some folks, don't get me wrong, it's great to pride that you have the Holy Ghost. I think it is. I think it's great to pride that you have the Holy Ghost and that you've been baptized. I think it's a wonderful thing. But I also think it's a place that we need to come to a sense of awareness that we need to get out of the way and let God be God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. I believe that the demonstrations that we're seeing right now, and we have been seeing, are definitely not of us. You know why? I believe that we're striving to get out of the way, because we realize that we need the treasures of God. See, once we come to a point that we need God more, we'll seek Him more. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple scripture. Now, of course, you know, most of the time we only apply that to the sinner. Am I right? We never, how many times do we apply that to us? I already called upon the name of the Lord. The Lord already saved me. Listen, I need salvation every day. Those who call upon the name, now we're bowing now. So who's greater upon the face of the earth? The children of God. Your prayers mean something. The children of God. The children of God. Oh, y'all. Yes. Oh, yeah. This ain't a UN meeting, but this is greater than a meeting in the UN, because this has eternal dividends. A UN meeting doesn't. Amen? Let's stand, y'all.